I'm inviting you to come up higher into the realm of the miraculous, into the realm where impossibilities are removed. So answer my call and come. Draw near with a full assurance of faith, knowing that I am both able and willing to do what I said. Know this, your Father is a man of his word. I stand by my word, I speak my word, and you must believe my word. Hallelujah. Word today, I am ready to get into this. Amen. I want to continue talking to you today about, is that your head talking or your heart talking? You know, there's a difference between what happens in our head and what happens in our heart. All right? And what happens in our head, I'm going to refer to it as mental assent. Okay? And what happens in our heart, I'm going to refer to it as faith. All right? Did you know that faith doesn't occur in your head? It occurs in your heart. The Bible says, believe with your heart. Did you know that your heart can believe? He's not talking about the muscle that pumps blood. He's talking about the real you, the spiritual man, the hidden man of the heart. Okay? And mental assent, it looks a lot like faith. It sounds like faith, but it's not faith. Mental assent is intellectually accepting the Word of God as true. It admires it. It might even agree with it. But it doesn't allow the Word to impact you. See, when a person is simply operating in mental assent, there will be no change. There will be no transformation. Because they're just intellectually accepting what God said. Mental assent agrees with God, but it doesn't believe God. Because when you believe God, you will take action. So, mental assent can be thought of as head knowledge. You know, God could have just given us intellectual, informational, and educational things. But God didn't come just to give us intellectualism, information, or education. He came to give us a revelation of who He is. And the Word of God is the revelation of who Jesus is, who points us to the Father. Amen? And your life will only be transformed if you have a revelation of who Jesus is. It's also considered sense knowledge. You know, we have five senses, right? Taste, touch, sight, hearing, whatever. Right? And sometimes we lead our lives based on our senses. We don't do things because we feel a certain way, or we do things because we feel a certain way. And we base it on our senses, what we can touch, what we can see with our physical eyes. But sense knowledge isn't going to do anything for your life. We could also call this emotionalism or flesh talk. How many know your flesh speaks to you? How many has ever heard their belly growl when they're hungry? Your flesh is talking to you. Who told you to hit that snooze button? It was your flesh saying, hit that snooze button. I don't feel like getting up. Amen? We've all been there at one point or another, right? We've all not done things because we didn't feel like doing them. Amen? Because we were operating by our flesh talk. And the thing about mental assent is this. It tries to act in faith, but it's not. It's actually, well, I'm going to get into that. Okay? Now, notice this. Go with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8. I want to say this. The realm you respond from is the realm you receive from. The realm you respond from is the realm you receive from. Notice what Galatians 6, 8 says. It says, for he that sows to his flesh shall reap what? Corruption. Okay, one person said that. Is that what it says? Everybody say corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap what? So whatever realm you respond from is the realm you receive from. If you respond from the Spirit, you get spiritual results. But if you respond from the natural, you get natural results. Okay? If you respond from the Spirit, which is God, the Lord, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, right? God said, I'm a spirit, right? Jesus said, the words that I speak are spirit and life. And we have a Holy Spirit, right? When we respond from that realm, we receive from the Spirit victory, success, eternal life, healing, peace, etc., etc., etc. Any benefit that the Spirit brings, when we respond from the Spirit, we get that benefit. But if we respond from the flesh, our own thoughts, others' opinions, feelings, emotions, flesh, or circumstances. Have you ever met someone that talks more about their circumstances than anything else? Just keep smiling and looking forward. Yeah, I met someone. It was me. Right? Then you receive things limited and falling short of God's best. Did you know that you can't change your circumstances by talking about it? Your circumstances are facts, but guess what? There's something that will change the facts, and that's called the truth. And we have one truth, and that's the Word of God. Amen? And when you speak the truth, you can actually change the facts of your circumstances. Y'all are quiet today. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. So in this teaching, we're going to see the difference between mental assent and real Bible faith. I'm going to be pointing out the differences as we go along. And good thing is, it's not going to happen in one day. So, and we got a guest speaker. You know, Pastor Matt Sheeran is going to be our guest on March 23rd, I think it is, after. Listen, that guy's full of fire. If there's ever a day that you want to bring someone that day. Because I guarantee you, he carries the fire of God with him. It's going to be awesome. I heard him speak 3 years ago, and it was incredible. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is. Everybody say, now faith is. When is faith? Now. Does it ever become something other than now? No. And the good thing with now is, it doesn't have an expiration date. God's faith is now. It's never going to go bad. It doesn't have a shelf life, all right? So as long as you participate in the now, faith can work on your behalf. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Everybody say, hoped for. What tense is hoped for? Isn't that interesting? Faith is now, hope is past. Faith is present, hope is future. And it's the evidence of things not seen. The difference between mental assent and faith is the difference between now and future. You know, some people say, well, God will heal me in his own time. You ever hear that? I've heard it spoken by people. Guess what? you don't know what God's time is, so therefore you can't have faith in it. You can't have faith in nothing. Your faith has to be based on something. It has to be based on something that doesn't change, something that doesn't shift, something that's not shaken. So if you don't know what God's time is, you have no faith to get healed when you say it's going to happen in God's time. Does God wear a watch? He doesn't even have a sundial. Because his realm is eternal. Jesus said, I'm the first and the last. I know the end before the beginning. So when you say it's going to happen in God's time, you're not operating in faith. You're trying to grasp something with your mind, and you really are grasping at nothing because you don't even know what the time is. Unless God has spoken to you that on Tuesday I'm going to come and visit you. Because that's something solid. You've actually heard God's voice speak to you, so you can't have faith beyond God's word. The Christian Standard Bible says it this way. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for. How many has ever ordered a pizza and had it delivered to your home? Right? You call up the pizza place, right? You tell them what you want, right? You tell them what you want on your pizza, what kind of pizza you want, right? And then you hang up the phone, and then what do? You start setting the table. Why? Because you're believing what you're hoping for a pizza, but you're getting ready for it now. Because the minute you got off that phone, you were convinced that that pizza, just like you ordered, was going to come to your house. And because you were convinced, you began to set the table, you began to get your money out, right? Am I talking to someone? Did you do that? But when people want something from God, they pray to God, but they don't get ready for it because they're not expecting it. They have more faith in the pizza delivery guy than they do in God. Because if you had faith in God, you'd be getting ready and preparing for what's coming, because you know it's coming. And what happens when the pizza delivery guy comes at 35 minutes instead of 30 minutes? What do you say? You free pizza, right? You claim your free pizza, because they said 30 minutes or less, right? See, some of y'all claim your pizza, right? See, when it doesn't happen like they said, then you claim the benefit of it. Amen. The Weymouth translation says it this way, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is a well-grounded assurance of that for which we hope and a conviction of the reality of things which we do not see. Hope comes after faith. Now faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for. Okay? Faith is now. Hope is future. Okay? Faith is always now. Mental assent is not yet. Once again, it's in God's time. Okay? I want you to go to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans, chapter 10. And I want to say this. Hope knows that it may receive something. Faith knows that it will receive something. See, with hope, you're hoping that it comes, but you're not really sure. Right? Why do you think they put tracking on packages that are sent? Because people want to know when it's coming. Amen? Faith is our tracker. See, when we're in faith, we know that it's already ours. In matter of fact, in faith, you've already received it. It's already a reality inside of you. Okay? So hope knows that it may receive something. Faith knows that it will receive something. Faith has already received it. Hope is primarily in the mind. Faith is primarily in the heart. Okay? Now, we're going to look at this Romans 10. There's verses that have been quoted out of this chapter, but we're going to look at the whole chapter. Because there's some things in here that tell us the difference between mental assent and faith. Okay? So, I got to tell you something about faith before we get into this. Faith hears God's words and knows that what God said is true, right, and for me. How does faith come? Hearing what? You know, faith won't come hearing the opinions of others. Faith doesn't come from your feelings. Faith doesn't come from reports that are based on scientific information. Faith comes by hearing God's word. So if you want to get in faith on a subject, you've got to hear God's word on the subject. Otherwise, you won't be in faith. If you're not hearing God's word on the subject, you can't have faith for that subject. Because faith only comes one way, hearing God's word. That is the only way faith comes. Okay? You cannot believe in something that you have not heard about. You don't have to turn there, but in Acts 19, Paul went to Ephesus. And he encountered some people. And he said, have you heard about the Holy Ghost? And they said, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? They said, we have not even what? Heard of the Holy Spirit. So guess what? If they haven't heard of it, they couldn't have faith for it. So guess what? Paul told them about it, and guess what? They received. Because he said, what baptism were you baptized? Oh, John's baptism. That was a baptism in water. But there was something additional to the water baptism that they hadn't experienced because they hadn't heard. But once they heard, guess what happened? They received, because now they had faith to receive. But they couldn't receive it if they hadn't heard about it. Are you hearing me? Okay? Number two, faith accepts, receives, and agrees that what God said is true. Faith accepts, receives, and agrees what God said is true. It does not reject God's word. Okay? Yeah, remember the parable of the sower? He who sowed on good ground is he who receives the word, accepts it, and what? Produces fruit. Okay? And then number three, faith embraces God's word and immediately produces fruit by putting it into practice. Everybody say immediately. You can't hear God's word and do nothing with it. If you do nothing with it, then you just heard it in your head and it hasn't gotten in your heart yet. So, Pastor Doug, how do I get it from my head to my heart? How does that come? Meditation. Or, guess what? You could be so open to the word of God that you just accept it once it's heard. Amen? The woman with the issue of blood, her situation changed based on what she heard. For 12 years, it hadn't changed. Why? Because she was hearing the wrong thing. She was hearing what the doctor said. She was hearing what others said. She was hearing everything else but the word. But when she heard the word, that's when her situation changed. She heard Jesus, and Jesus is the word. Amen? Mental assent agrees to a certain extent about what God said, but it does not fully embrace it wholeheartedly. It's like, oh yeah, that's nice. Oh, that's a pretty picture. That's what mental assent does with God's word. Oh, that's great, that's awesome, that's nice, but they don't do anything with it. You can only do something with God's word when it gets in your heart. You can't do anything with it. If you operate from your head, it won't produce any power. Therefore, it won't bring about any change. This is good stuff, amen? Mental assent agrees to a certain extent about what God said, but it does not fully embrace it wholeheartedly. It gives a polite nod that it is true, but it does not enter the heart and become its will. Only when God's word enters your heart will it transform your life. I'm going to get ahead of myself here, but the Bible says guard your what? Why did it say guard your head? We're supposed to control our thoughts, but we're not supposed to guard our thoughts. We're supposed to guard our heart. Because why? Out of the heart flow what? The issues of life. All right? See, God doesn't want you just to acknowledge what he said is true. He wants your commitment to act on it. Okay? You got to be committed to the author of truth. Amen? It's a lot easier to get healing when you're focused on the healer. It's very easy to be saved when you're focused on the Savior. It's very easy to receive provision when you're focused on the provider or provider. All right? Okay. Let's just give you an example here. A man who's seeking to become a Christian, he says the following. I believe that Christ was raised from the dead. I take him as my Savior and confess him as my Lord. Therefore, I am saved because his word in Romans 10, 9 and 10 declares so. He confesses that he is saved before he receives witness within himself. Amen? He believes the word to be God's. Therefore, he acts fearlessly upon it regardless of his feelings. That's what we're talking about. Because he knows it cannot be broken. Okay? He boldly makes the word his confession. There is no believing that does not result in confession. A mental assenter, when he seeks to become a Christian, he'll speak similarly to the following. He'll say, I believe the Bible is God's word. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I've been trying to be saved for a long time. I've asked him in, but I'm not saved. That's a mental assenter. This one would be insulted if he were told that he did not believe, yet his attitude is one of mental assent. He professes to believe, yet he has no conception of acting upon God's word. If he had believed, he would have said, God's word is true. Okay? All right, let's go to Romans 10. And I want you to see verse 1. Romans 10, verse 1, it says, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel that they might be saved. Okay? Paul had a heart for the Jewish people because he was a Jew. And he wanted to see them saved. And it says, for I hear them record that they have a zeal for God, but according to what? To knowledge. The Jewish people, many of them, put their religion above the relationship. They had a zeal for God. Yeah, I'm excited about God. But they put their religion above a relationship, so a lot of them weren't saved. Who was it that put Jesus on the cross? It was the Romans, but based on whose word? Jews. Because Satan got in there because guess what? He was already in there. You know, Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, you are of your father, the devil. Well, how could they be of the devil? Because they didn't believe in Jesus. See, if you don't believe in Jesus, God is not your father. The devil is. And you got to believe in Jesus to transfer your family relationship. Amen? All right. Verse 3. So notice they had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Verse 3, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness. Everybody say their own righteousness. They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Oh my goodness. If you try to establish your own way to heaven, you're a mental assenter. I did it my way. No, you're going down if you did it your way. See, what we need to realize is this. The kingdom of God is not a democracy. It is a kingdom. And in a kingdom, every law that is made comes directly from the king. So God, whose idea was salvation? It is God's. Who initiated the plan to save us? It was God, right? So he has a way of doing it. And guess what? We can't change that way. So look at this. This is mental ascent right here. This is mental ascent 101. They were ignorant of God's righteousness. What does it mean to be ignorant? It means to not know. And if they didn't know, they didn't hear. But because they were ignorant, they established their own righteousness. What happens when you establish your own righteousness? You become self-righteous. No man can save himself. If that were true, the news we'd see on television would be a whole lot better. But guess what? Man cannot save himself. We needed a savior. And it said they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. In other words, they opposed and rejected Jesus. Because Jesus was the epitome of the righteousness of God. He was the Word made flesh. He came to show them what it means to be righteous. And they opposed him. Many of them rejected him. Not all of them, but many. There were some Jews that got a hold of him. Amen? Peter was a Jew. He got a hold of Jesus. Andrew, his brother, was a Jew. He got a hold of Jesus. Every one of the disciples was Jewish. They got a hold of Jesus. They embraced him. Peter said, look, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. All right? Amen. Verse 5. Okay, verse 5. Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which does those things shall live by them. Moses was the one who wrote the law. Right? Moses wrote the story of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he wrote to the people what God gave to him. If you want to be righteous by the law, you got to live by the law. This is what you got to do, right? You got to obey the commandments. Okay? So Moses described, everything that Moses wrote about pointed to Jesus. Jesus is the complete fulfillment of everything that Moses wrote. Okay? Verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith, notice this, it's a different type of righteousness because it's of faith. Guess how it speaks. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ down up again from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. In other words, you can't make your way to salvation. It's not based on what you did. It's based on what he did. You're just receiving what he did. That's what faith talks about. Faith is based on what God did through Jesus Christ, and he outlined it in his word. Anytime that you disagree with the word over your situation, you're in mental ascent. You're operating from your mind, your senses, your flesh. Okay? And it's not going to work for you. It's not going to have any power. Only when this word, only when you grab it with your heart will an explosion take place. The word in your heart is the fuse to reach the dunamis power. True faith resides in your heart and mouth. Okay, verse 8 says, the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. Those are two places where the word is. It resides in your heart and it's carried out in your mouth. Say, my heart and my mouth are the two addresses of faith. Because the Bible says what's in your heart is what? Going to come out of your mouth. You can listen to a person talk for 5 minutes and find out exactly what realm they're in. When they're talking about problems, their trials, their tests, more than they are about solutions and victory, they're operating from the mental realm. And they need to soak more in the word. They need to get it saturated. Your sponge is dry. You got to get it next to the water. Only when a sponge is next to the water will it become pliable. Okay? See, what happens is, and see, it was always God's desire to write his word on your heart. He doesn't write it on your head. He writes his word on your heart. And actually, he says he gives us a new heart. He takes out the stony heart, the hardness of the heart. See, the hardness of the heart resists the word of God. But that stony heart, that hardness needs to be changed into something that God can write on. Try it. Write on a piece of paper and write on a rock and see which is better. See which allows easier access of communication. Okay? Verse 9. Okay, he says, see, faith always results in you will be. All right? Notice verse 9. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be. Everybody say, shall be. Faith always results in a shall be. In other words, when you're in faith, it always produces results. Say, faith always produces results. Mental assent doesn't ever produce results. Okay? So that's an easy conclusion. Have you produced the results? Yes, then you're in faith. If you didn't produce the results, then you're not in faith. So, but guess what? You can get in faith. Amen? Who's the doorway to faith? Jesus. And guess what? He's open to anyone who comes. Amen? All you got to do is come, and the door is open to you. Okay? So, mental assent results in you might be, but you're not sure. You're not confident to receive because knowledge is not solidified and residing in your heart. Verse 10. For with the heart, man believes. Everybody say, with the heart, man believes. He didn't say with the head. See, when, and that's why God said renew your minds. You got to replace his information with the information that you are used to. In other words, you got to give yourself new information so that you can operate in a different way. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. True faith believes in the heart and confesses with the mouth and becomes what God said. In this case, it's salvation. You become saved by believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. Amen? And he tells us exactly, believe that he's God's son and confess that he's your Lord. When you say Jesus is Lord, you're saying something. When you say Jesus is Lord, you're saying that you're not. Amen? Everybody say Jesus is Lord and I'm not. See, by confessing that he's Lord, you're saying that I'm not. Amen? Okay? Verse 11. For the scripture says, so how does faith talk? Faith talks in line with the scripture. Okay? For the scripture said, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Just as the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. So when you're in faith, you can't be shamed. You won't be embarrassed. Because there. Faith is confidence. Faith is assurance. Faith is knowing. Faith is on a firm foundation. Faith is secure in God. And you speak different when you're confident. Amen? Is this helping anybody today? There's a whole lot of revelation here. Faith is always based on Scripture and will not be put to shame. Mental assent is not based on Scripture and will be shamed and embarrassed. If you operate God's word, you'll never be embarrassed. Jesus never said, I can't believe I said that. Jesus never prayed for someone, I hope this works. Matter of fact, whenever he told someone about healing, it was always a command. Pick up your mat and walk. That wasn't a suggestion. was it? Because the Word is talking. See, the Word, when you're in faith, there's a commanding authority that comes out of you. The Roman centurion, who had great faith identified by Jesus, he didn't need Jesus to come and lay his hands on the servant. All he needed Jesus to do was speak the Word. Because the centurion had complete confidence and assurance that whatever Jesus said would happen. Remember, he said, only speak the word and my servant shall be whole, right? That's all you need to do. And Jesus said, wow, I've not seen so great faith in all Israel. Here, a Roman soldier had more faith because he understood authority than most of the Jewish population. Wow, that's saying something. Okay, verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that what? Get this. Faith knows God answers faith, not gender. Not race. Amen? Guess what? When we're in faith, we're all on the same plane. It's not matter. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or Greek. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. It doesn't matter if you're 80 or 10. All of us can operate by faith because faith knows that God answers faith. So guess what? When you're in faith, you can't blame it on, well, because I'm a man and you're a woman. You know. No. Faith is faith. Faith has no gender. Faith has no color. Amen? Faith is Scripture. Faith is the Word of God. Faith doesn't blame what it doesn't have on anything else, but goes to God to get what it needs. Well, I didn't have it because Pastor Fiona's been doing this for 10 years. I've been doing it for one. Doesn't matter. Do you realize that someone who gets born again, you've just operated in faith to receive the greatest miracle of all, which is salvation? So guess what? You have used the gift of faith to get the greatest miracle. So guess what? You're in faith. You qualify for every other blessing of God. And you don't have to be doing this for 10 years. All you got to do is believe. Believe has no age limit. John the Baptist believed when he was in the womb. That tells me that in the womb, people are alive. John the Baptist operated by faith in the womb. He heard the word come in. Why? Mary said hello because she was carrying the word on the inside of her. And she spoke the word into the atmosphere. And John the Baptist got a hold of it. He got excited about what he heard. Now, if he can operate in the womb, you can certainly operate outside of the womb. There is no excuse for you for not believing God. All right. So you go to God for what you need, want, and desire. Faith knows that God gives richly to all who act on. Calling on him is acting on the word. Right? Amen. I didn't realize I'd get so fired up. Okay, verse 14 and 15 now. This is important. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? You know, you can't call on what you don't believe. You don't act on what you don't believe. You act on what you believe. How shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? The only way that faith comes is hearing God's word. You've got to hear the word of God. It's so important. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings. All right? Listen to this. Before you can call, you got to believe. Don't be calling when you don't believe it. Otherwise, you'll produce frustration. You'll say, this stuff doesn't work. I tried it. You don't try faith. God does not give you a taste test of faith. I've got three levels of faith here. Which one do you like best? See, if you call on God without believing, you'll lead to frustration and you'll blame God for it not working, but it's really you. Who has the gall to blame God for something not working? I mean, really? Yeah, the devil does. But even the devil knows. Do you realize every devil that Jesus said shut up couldn't speak? Every devil that was occupied in the space where he said go, they had to move? And guess what? That same power resides in you. Every devil that you say to shut up cannot speak any longer. When a devil is occupying a space that is God's, you can tell him to move, and he's got to move. You have the same authority that Jesus does. You have his name, his nature, his power, his spirit in you. Jesus delegated his authority to us. Okay, before you call, you've got to believe. In order to believe, you've got to hear. So if you don't believe something, what do you got to do? You got to hear. And guess what? It comes quicker when you hear yourself say it versus someone else. When you go to the Word for a problem that you're facing and you hear your voice saying what the Word says about your problem, faith is going to come quicker because you're hearing yourself speak the Word. Mm-mm-mm. So if you don't believe, Hold your confession until you believe, so you got to just take a little bit more time to hear, all right? Then you can act. See, too many times people try to bypass that. They're mental assenters. Okay, in order to hear, someone's got to preach. There has to be a proclamation of the Word of God. Jesus went about teaching, preaching, and healing. Everybody say teaching, preaching, and healing. Sounds to me like church. Jesus, who's the head of this church? Jesus. If you're the head of something, don't you think it'd be important? Yeah, you wouldn't be the head of it if you didn't think it was important, right? How about, would you purchase something with your blood if you didn't think it was important? Okay, enough said about that. Okay, so before you call, you got to believe. In order to believe, you got to hear. In order to hear, there has to be something be proclaimed. In order to proclaim, you have to be sent to bring good news. Do you realize every preacher is not sent? There's a lot of mental assenting preaching going on. They give you intellectual information and education, but there's no revelation, there's no power. True preachers who are sent by God and bring good news need to be heard so that people can believe and call on God to be saved or receive anything else from him. But I want to tell you, VCF's got one that's sent. Amen? We were sent here by God so that you could become an heir of salvation, so that you could discover the treasures and inheritance in God's Word. Verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So therefore, the gospel was going out, but not everyone believed. A non-believer is a mental assenter. Not all of them welcome the good news. Mental assent does not welcome the good news into their inner being. In other words, a mental assenter keeps the Word of God at bay, and you want to control it. You don't want it to control you, so you don't yield. Hey, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach. Tell them that their city is going to be destroyed. No. He didn't say no, but he said no with his actions. Do you know that your actions speak louder than your words? Jesus told a parable of two sons. One, he said, son, go do this. And the son said, oh, yeah, I'll do it. Didn't do it. Next son, he said, go do this. No, I'm not going to do it. But then he went and did it. What happened? The second one had a change of heart. He didn't say it, but he did it because he spoke with his actions. Jesus said, which one did it? The one who went and did it. Even though he didn't acknowledge it with his voice, he did it with his actions. Amen? Jesus said, what kind of a person with the word? Be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. A hearer only is a mental assenter and they never act on the word. Even though they heard it and heard it and heard it, but they never do it. Okay. So mental assent doesn't welcome the word of God. So Israel heard. See, you know, even Jesus said, some people honor me with their lips, but their heart is what? Far from me. That means there's a discrepancy between what they're saying and what they're believing. That means they're mental assenters. You can come in here praising God and have the most nastiest heart because no one can see the heart. Okay? All right. Mental assent happens when the hopeful mind thinks it's a believing heart. So mental assent is really deceptive. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. And I'm almost done. 1 Timothy 1 verse 13. Paul is describing his former way of living. Notice what he says. Who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an injurious person, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. When Paul was persecuting Christians, he thought he was doing God's will. He was convinced, and if you were to ask him, Paul, do you really believe that? He would say yes, because he was actually taking men and women, putting them in handcuffs, and taking them to jail simply because they believed in Jesus. So before Paul met Jesus, he was a primary mental assenter. He was doing something that he thought was God's will, but it wasn't God's will at all. It wasn't even based on the truth. It was based on religion. It was based on something man-made. God had nothing. That's why Jesus himself said, Paul, why are you persecuting me? He got a revelation that day that what he was doing up to that point was wrong. But Paul, if you would have asked Paul, Paul would have been convinced. That's mental assent. All right? It shows up in the way you talk and the way you act. You know when you are in faith and you know when you're not in faith. Amen? You know when something's real in you versus not just a part of you. You know when you're doing something with your heart. You know, oftentimes they say of fighters, he doesn't have a lot of talent, but he has a lot of what? Heart. Because even though he may not have the skill or the ability, he believes. I mean, Rocky had heart. I had the tiger, man. Dun, 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 dun. He was short. He came from the streets. But he fought with something inside of him that was greater than his experience and his skill. He fought with heart. See, there's a difference when you do something from your heart versus your head. Amen? All right. One more passage of scripture that we got to get to. Go to Matthew 19. And we're going to be finished today. Matthew 19. Verse 16 to 22. Matthew 19, verses 16 to 22. And we're going to see a story here of someone who responded from mental assent to Jesus. Okay? Matthew 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good things shall I do? Underline that. What good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? Can you do anything to get eternal life? So right there, the premise is wrong. He's looking to do something to get salvation. Okay? So Jesus entertains him. And he said to him, Why do you call me good? There's none good but God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. Okay? Jesus is talking to a Jewish person and he's pointing them back to the law. He said unto him, Which? Jesus said, You shall not murder, not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother. Notice Jesus left out the commandments that have to do with God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Right? He says, Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said unto him, All these things I have kept from my youth. Come on. You mean to tell me he's never stolen anything? He's always honored his parents? Look at, he said, I kept these from my youth. So what do I lack? This is all mental ascent right here. This guy thinks he's only a short distance away. Okay? But notice, the young man said unto him, All of these things I have kept from my youth, what do I lack? Jesus said unto him, Now who's talking here? Who's Jesus? He's the Word. So the Word is about to instruct him into the way that he should go, because salvation only comes through the Word. You can't find any other way to get to God other than through the Word. The Word of God is your primary connection to God. If you will perfect and go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And the guy was so excited that he said, Okay, I will. Is that what happened? But when the young man heard this, what happened? He went away sorrowful, for he had what? Great possession. Uh-oh. The key is he loved his possessions more than he loved God. See, faith obeys God even when he tells you to get rid of everything. How do we know that he wasn't in faith? Because he didn't do what the Word said. This man claimed to have a godly faith, and he was asking, you know, what do I lack? Like, I got this. No problems, no worries. They say in Fiji, no worries, no worries. You ask him anything, no worries. It's funny. It's a good attitude, though. The truth was that he had mental assent, not real faith. His reaction to Christ's reply proves it. So when God gives you an instruction, the key to tell whether you're in faith or in mental assent is whether or not you do what he says. That will indicate right there what realm you're operating in. In John 6, verses 28 through 30, people inquired, What must we do to perform the works of God? Jesus replied, The work of God is this, that you believe on him whom God sent. Everybody say, the works of God are for me to believe. The works of God are not for you to do something, it's for you to simply believe. And where do you believe? Do you believe with your head? No, you believe with your heart, right? You got to let it have entrance into your being. When Noah built the ark, right, he put tar on the outside as well as what? The inside. Guess what? We got to have what we proclaim to have on the inside too. Amen? So, this man, he came to Jesus inquiring about eternal life. Jesus gave him, he said, sell what you have, give to the poor, and what? Follow me. What happens when you obey God's word in giving? Come on. Do you end up with less or more when you give according to God's word? You end up in more. This man, whom the word was telling him to give, if he'd obeyed the word, he'd have had more than enough. Because when you give, it never leaves your life, but it goes into your future. But he didn't obey what the word said. Amen? And people are like that too all the time. As far as the church, I can only put the lights on and open the doors, but I can't make people come. Believe me, I've tried. It doesn't work. I can only show up ready to preach, have the lights on and the doors open, but it's up to people that got to come. Amen? And we want more and more people to come. Amen? We want this church to grow because there's some good stuff happening here. God's doing some stuff. He's building a strong body of believers right here. And there's more people that need to be built up in strength and built up in the word. But you can't live your Christian life in disobedience to the word of God. God expects you to do what he said. No questions asked. There's no reasoning that we could give God. There's no excuse that we could give. God told Moses, I want you to go to Egypt and deliver my people. And Moses gave about six excuses why he couldn't go. God answers every one of his excuses, and he said, and then God started to get angry. The longer you excuse yourself from obeying God, the more angry God will get towards you. Why did God get angry? Because Moses was telling God that what you're saying is not true. You're basically calling God a liar. When you say you can't do what God said to do, you're calling God a liar. Do you like being called a liar? Well, God doesn't either, and he's the truth. So just as much as you don't like being called a liar, your disobedience is saying, God, you lied because your word isn't true. And that's mental assent. This man had an opportunity in a lifetime. He could have been a disciple. He might have been Judas's replacement. But he walked away. Why? Because his love for the stuff was more. He didn't want to get rid of the stuff. Don't be so tied to this world that you can't do what God says do. This world is going to pass away, and everything in it is going to pass away. I've done lots of funerals in the last 17 years, and I've never seen one hearse carrying a U-Haul. Not one. People pass this earth, and they cannot take the stuff with them. The only thing that you can take with you is what you do for God while you're alive. You know, I heard a preacher say this morning how Noah was introduced in the Hall of Faith because he saved eight people, his family. The greatest thing that you could do is lead your family to Christ. Get them involved in the work of God. Amen? That's the most important thing. He's listed in the Hall of Faith with David and all the others because he saved his family. That's all Noah did. He built a boat and saved his family. Amen? And God said, that's my boy. Listen, how do you save your family? First of all, they need someone to follow. Amen? If you're not following God, why would your kids want to? Amen? Okay, enough of that. Now is the time to enter into the realm of faith and to not just mentally agree with what God said, but to actually embrace it with your heart. Jesus said, love the Lord your God, how? With all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. You have got to love God that way in order for him to do his work in you. Amen? God wants to do a work in every one of us. He's got a calling. Number one, he calls you out of darkness and into the light. Number two, he calls you to himself. Number three, he reveals his assignment that he created you for. And number four, he helps you grow and do it. Amen? Now, God's calling some of you. Actually, no, let me rephrase that. Sorry, Lord. God's calling all of us. And now is the time. Today, everybody say today, is the day of salvation. It's not tomorrow, it's now. Faith is now. What are you going to do for God now? Are you going to obey God right now, no matter what he says? God is calling some obeyers that will step forward and stand on his word and not look back and not compromise and not look to the right or not look to the left, but to follow God all the way. Amen? And he's looking for a long-time commitment. God doesn't look for part-time employees. He wants you full-time. That means your whole life. And if you're here today and you need something in your body, you need something in your heart, you need something in your life, you need God to work in a situation that you're facing, today is your day of victory. Today is your day where you overcome. Right now, you step into the realm of faith. Amen? And if you need God to touch you in any way, if you need to be born again, then you need to come and get born again. And you know what? Don't be like the Israelites. Sometimes the Lord comes across in a rebuke. And I have seen the Lord rebuke people, but they don't respond. You think it's going to be better or worse for you? Today is the day of change right now. Amen? Today we're going to change our mindset, we're going to change our ways, and we're going to become yielded to God. So if that's you, if that's speaking to your heart, if the Holy Spirit is drawing you, I want you to come right now in the name